Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course, or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with just 30 calories and no artificial sweeteners. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.
Can you believe it's Sunday already? I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is One Nation. You are going to love this show tonight. Standing by, General David Petraeus, a fantastic military mind, will unwind what's happening in Iran. Rick Caruso, what's going on in California? They'd be much better off if that businessman was running for governor. We'll find out who he thinks should win and how to figure out their budget crisis. And Gary Brecka, Mr. Maha, he's got a challenge for you. But first, the fastest, most impactful monologue in America. The theme this week is rewiring the region. You know, it's easy to look at the Middle East today, 7 weeks of war, and think, here we go again. Endless and hopeless cycle of violence on repeat over and over again. But take a step back, because this region may be closer than ever to flipping from a war zone to an enterprise zone. Look at the facts. Look back first. There was a time when dictators like Saddam Hussein in Iraq, Bashar al-Assad in Syria, aimed their fury at Israel and the West. When al-Qaeda called Saudi Arabia home and made terror its business model. Now al-Qaeda is largely contained. Saddam is gone. Assad in exile. Jordan and Egypt, well, they've been stable partners for decades. You know that. So what's left? One dominant terror state, and that is Iran.
A grave situation in Iran, where our embassy has been seized and more than 60 American citizens continue to be held as hostages.
Iran aggressively pursues these weapons and exports terror, while an unelected few repress the Iranian people's hope for freedom.
And our concerns will remain with respect to Iranian behavior so long as Iran continues its sponsorship of terrorism, its support for proxies who destabilize the Middle East, its threats against America's friends and allies, like Israel.
Right. It never stopped. My whole adult life, Iran's been the problem. But they are an enemy of America and Israel. We know that. But Iran has also been waging a shadow war against its own Gulf neighbors for years. And over the last 5 weeks, directly firing on them. Look at this scale. Over 1,200 attacks on Saudi Arabia. 2,800 drones and shot and missiles are shot at UAE. You got about 300 shot at Kuwait, Bahrain, 150, Qatar, 100. Even Oman, who is brokering peace talks, got hit at least 50 times. This isn't rhetoric. It's a sustained campaign of aggression across the region.
Iran does have a vast missile arsenal, and that's going to be the priority objective for this military campaign. It is destroying that arsenal that threatened American troops from bases as far-flung as the Indian Ocean to Western Europe.
But here's what's changed. Instead of backing down, instead of distancing themselves from the United States or turning on Israel, the Gulf states are standing firm. They finally see it clearly. Iran is the problem. America is security. America is opportunity. And Israel acts, yes, only when attacked. So when it comes to the fight, the message from the region is simple. Finish the job.
We are locked and loaded on your critical dual-use infrastructure, on your remaining power generation, and on your energy industry. We'd rather not have to do it, but we're ready to go at the command of our president and at the push of a button.
It's true. Look at the battlefield right now. With the ceasefire seemingly taking hold at least till Tuesday, the numbers tell the story. More than 13,000 targets have been struck inside Iran by us, and the Israelis had their own list. Air defenses have been destroyed. Air force has been neutralized. Much of the Navy has been sunk. Oil production has squeezed dry. There's a blockade in place by us. That's not symbolism. That's decisive pressure. Iran's best way forward and only way forward for itself is easy. This is for the region. You have to do a couple of things. Give up the uranium. End your nuclear ambitions. Stop terror proxies. Stop brutalizing your own people.
For millions of Iranians, it's very, very clear that this regime cannot be trusted. When it comes to get a deal from this regime, from Islamic Republic, the only deal that you can get from this government is just if you appease them, because they want to actually guarantee the lives and freedom of their own children and relatives in America. They can give up their values.
But will they? For the first time in decades, there's real signs of movement. Lebanon's leadership engaging and standing up to Hezbollah, and now actually talking to Israel. So, yes, the headlines are loud. The images are intense. But don't miss what's actually happening, because if this moment is handled correctly, in the days ahead and the weeks ahead, we might be on the edge of something really historic, a more stable, a more connected Middle East. And if anyone understands that and how to navigate the path forward, it's one of the most respected military minds of our time, the former CIA director, retired four-star general David Petraeus. General, historic times, historic opportunity. Do you see it the same way?
In large measure, I do. I would add two other elements, though, if I could. One is that Iran needs to give up its interference with the freedom of navigation through the Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz, give up the effort to try to turn that into a Panama Canal in which they can charge tolls of $2 million per ship. And also, I think we need to be a bit cautious about what Lebanon can do with Hezbollah. Absolutely the right policies to encourage them, to help their military strengthened to be able to take on Hezbollah more and more. But I think that's the one where there are some limitations on what realistically can be achieved.
How much was achieved? We don't have eyes on it. Your connections are tremendous. The satellite images revealed to the Pentagon. But how much damage has been done? How neutralized is Iran right now?
Well, there's been enormous damage. Its air and ballistic missile defenses have been basically taken down. We have air superiority when we choose to use it. Leaders have been killed. The missile launchers, missile stockpile, and even the missile manufacturing and assembly facilities have all been dramatically damaged or destroyed. Navy's at the bottom of the Gulf, as you noted. Air Force wasn't much to begin with, but whatever is left is gone. The drone stockpiles also reduced, but there still are drones, there still are some missiles, and they still could resume attacks on the infrastructure in the Gulf states and on our locations and Israeli targets as well. So we need to be cautious about that, but they are dramatically degraded in that regard. I would contend that the two most important points in the negotiation to us, to President Trump very clearly, are the elimination of the stockpile of the 60% enriched uranium and never to enrich again, and then also freedom of navigation in the Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz. They'll want, in return for that, release of frozen assets, their opportunity to export oil and distillates again, to resume the commerce. Much of their economy rests on the commerce that comes in and out of the ports that they have on the Gulf.
Right.
So those will be their incentives. And I think there is a deal to be had, but it's going to require some real concessions by Iran that they previously have not been willing to grant.
I was struck by your column this week. You said success in Iran may be a distraction. Modern warfare, the next generation of warfare, is really happening in Ukraine. And you point to robots, you point to AI and mass precision. Why do you think we should be looking at Ukraine? Because I obviously 100% agree with you. What's gone on there in innovation has been astounding.
That's exactly it. So, look, our men and women in uniform have done magnificently against Iran. There's some lessons we've learned there, to be sure, especially with the Gulf states there about counter-drone operations and some other defensive items. But the real future of warfare is being defined on the battlefield in Ukraine by Ukrainians. who are now stopping the Russians cold in the front lines. They're using 10,000 unmanned systems of various types every single day, and they're going to increase. This year, they will make 7 million. I just got back 2 weeks from there. This time, was able to go to the headquarters of frontline units to get their insights on all of this. And it is largely a war of unmanned systems against unmanned systems, with the frontline soldiers being deeply buried underground, literally in three-story underground dugouts, because that's what's required. If you're anywhere within the 35 kilometers on either side of the front lines, it's called the death zone, because it's under constant surveillance, especially now that the weather is better and can't mask some of the movements by either side. And it is incredibly lethal. I actually watched an operation where a Russian soldier was identified out of his deeply buried bunker, and that did not end well for him. They just pursue them relentlessly. Armored vehicles can't move in that area. Even vehicles going forward with logistics and coming back with casualties are remotely driven. So this is the future of warfare, and this is before we even get to autonomous warfare.
It's amazing. I wish President Trump would give up on Vladimir Putin, because I have a long time ago. The Ukraine is a real success story and a true American ally and a great fighting force. General David Petraeus, always great. Thanks so much.
Good to be with you, Brian. Thank you.
Well, craziness in California as a wave of sexual misconduct allegations against Eric Swalwell have surfaced, not only forcing Fang Fang's ex-boyfriend to drop out of California's gubernatorial race, but to resign from Congress. This leaves the race for governor, California, wide open. Believe it or not, he was on the top of it. Could Steve Hilton cause a red revolt? Look at those numbers. Or will the fate of the nation's most populated state be left to the very unlikable Tom Steyer? Really? Steyer, who has already notched endorsements from the likes of Ro Khanna and the California Teachers and Nurses Association, is well known for his far-left progressive policies, similar to those that have already crippled the state. Joining us now to offer his perspective of this very coveted job that no one seems a front-runner for is Rick Caruso, founder and executive chair of Caruso, of your company, a self-made success story, who ran for mayor himself, and many people were hoping was going to get into the gubernatorial race. Rick, what's your take on the state right now of the governor's race?
Hi, Brian. Well, it's wide open. It's wide open, but we have Matt Mahan that's emerging. He's doubled his score in the polling, which is great, so he's on the rise. And we've got a bit of a situation, Brian. I think it's becoming a circus at the top between, you know, Steyer and Katie Porter. And I just couldn't imagine turning over the reins of California in the situation that it is, which is in a crisis of housing and growth and spending, to a guy like Tom or to Katie.
I mean, let's take a look at the state of the state. Total debt, $497 billion. Total debt is over $1 trillion here. Department of Social Services has a budget of $48.5 billion. Health fund, health care for undocumented immigrants, about over $8 billion. These are the types of things that just can't exist anymore. Someone's got to come in and clean up this mess. So why is it that, for example, your guy, Matt Mahan, the moderate mayor from San Jose, is still in single digits?
Well, he got into the race late, but he is growing very quickly, and he's got a lot of support behind him. Listen, I look at it really easily, Brian. Let's elect people, whether you're on the right or you're on the left, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or you're an independent, who are well qualified and actually have the experience of getting the right results, which he did in San Jose. The guy started as a school teacher. He went into private employment, ran a company. He knows how to run a company. And then he's done a heck of a job in San Jose, reduced homelessness. It's now the largest city in America and the safest city in America. And he's built an enterprise in San Jose, right, that is benefiting from an economic boom. I got to tell you something. You read some statistics about California. The school system is terrible. The cost of housing is terrible. It's absolutely unsustainable. And the budget has increased over 70% in 7 years. And nobody's benefiting from that increase.
I know. It's just totally irresponsibility that Gavin Newsom's leaving behind, and he has not endorsed anyone yet. So we'll see what happens. Let's talk about the rebuild of Pacific Palisades. Your area didn't need it because you were prepared for it. Famously, they forgot to bring water and forgot to bring the fire department. But only 34 homes have been rebuilt out of the 425 are under construction. So why is it that so little's been done, Rick?
Because it's a master class in the failure of leadership and electing people in office who are incompetent and unqualified and do not have the ability to make smart decisions and know what they're doing. And so what I did is I leaned in very quickly, formed a group called Steadfast LA, put a great team of people together, and we have bolted on to the city and the state and the county to solve problems and help move forward on the rebuilding, which we're doing a lot for that. But listen, Brian, it's very simple. If you're going to be a mayor or you're going to be a governor, you're a CEO. And unless you've got experience in running an organization, you're going to be overseeing decline. And that's what we have in L.A. now. We have a mayor that just oversees decline and not growth. I was in Nashville yesterday, blown away by the amount of growth going on in Nashville. I'm in Austin today, blown away by it. That's all about the right leadership.
And people are leaving California. They're leaving the state I'm in right now of New York because of the taxes. And they want to vilify people like you that are successful and think you're the problem. And sadly, I think the wealth tax in California is going to force someone like you maybe to perhaps possibly reconsider. Let's talk about something else that you would think the governor and others should welcome. And that is the task force by J.D. Vance to crack down on fraud. So far, they found 447 hospices that shouldn't have existed. They've been suspended. A cost of over $600 million in suspected fraud. So all this fraud was raging underneath a budget that was way over budget. So yet there's a lawmaker in California that wants to crack down on people cracking down on fraud. If you come up to someone, try to find fraud, you could end up with a $50,000 fine and end up in jail.
No, listen, it's crazy. And obviously in California, we have systemic fraud that needs to be wiped out. The solution that our leadership has already done, and this is why I really worry about somebody like a Tom Steyer or a Katie Porter, they're going to continue down this path. And instead of fixing the problems and reducing the waste and reducing costs, they're going to continue to increase taxes and cover it up. And we just can't live with it anymore. It's a race to the bottom and it can't be sustained.
What about Steve Hilton?
You know what? Steve came by my office. I think he's a well-intended guy, but he's a political consultant and he's a nice guy. But a political consultant with no experience running a complex company or a complex government entity is not going to be able to turn the corner for this state. I can't believe that he's going to be the right choice. We've elected people that did not have the experience. We did it in L.A. for our mayor, and we've seen the side effects of that, and it's not a happy ending.
All right. Rick Caruso, I think Los Angeles has been a lot better off had you won that election, and I think they probably regret it. And it's too bad you're not running for governor. Thanks so much for joining us. It was great seeing you, Rick. Meanwhile, straight ahead, broadcast bias on full display as the mainstream media is only interested in negative angles for the war and more. Is that even possible? It's true. Todd Ricketts is here on how to stop it. And coming up, we all know my sleep habits are questionable, not enough perhaps, but how can it impact my longevity? We're going to ask the best in the business. Mr. Maha himself, Gary Brecka, will be here. Be sure to catch me, by the way, on tour. Coming up before you know it, right after Memorial Day, Reno, Nevada, May 30th, streamed on Fox Nation. Pensacola, Florida, July 11th, and new dates coming up in the fall. I'm talking about Westbury, Clearwater, Jacksonville, and Chesterfield, and that'll be the Uniting the States tour. Go to BrianKilmeade.com. Don't move. You're watching One Nation.
Alone. Oh, my brother.
The International Energy Agency said the war in the Middle East is creating the largest supply disruption in the history of the global oil market. That's Donald Trump's definition of great shape.
President Trump repeatedly calling the war with Iran a little excursion, a war that has killed American troops, injured about 150 of them, destabilized the Middle East, and driven oil over $100 a barrel. John, a little excursion is kind of like a half-day snorkeling trip you book on your vacation to the Bahamas, not a war with Iran.
We've got intelligence reports that indicate that the administration's claims of success, particularly against missile launchers, may have been overly optimistic.
You know, we are winning the war with Iran or have won. But you wouldn't know that by watching almost every media outlet. Networks seem more determined than ever to paint a negative picture of almost anything President Trump does, and the numbers don't lie. It's not just the networks, Apple, Google, Yahoo, all accused in recent weeks of suppressing right-leaning media outlets in columns and editorials. With 3 years left in his term and so much at stake, will we ever see a semblance of balance? I want to ask Todd Ricketts that, co-owner of the Chicago Cubs and co-founder of a search engine called Freespoke. He's got a big announcement. That, by the way, provides unfiltered, unmanipulated search results. Todd, welcome.
Thanks.
You watching that, it's not surprising you, right? You watch coverage?
Yeah, not at all. I mean, and you talk about all these news places, they're only drawing from left-leaning or mainstream media, which definitely has a bias in it. And really, a few years ago, as I saw that, and I saw big tech, you know, trying to lead me down a narrative or manipulate my views, and when I was searching for information, I said, we have to be able to do something better. So we built a search engine that strips out the bias and labels all the publishers left, right, middle. And it really tries to give you this whole perspective of everything
Freespoke.
That's going on. Freespoke.com, yeah. So you can educate yourself. I have a lot of faith in Americans to make up their own mind if they're given all the information. And then recently we've launched the podcast perspective, where we're incorporating podcasts into our AI results, kind of bringing around those the consensus of information and the perspectives.
So you don't use algorithms?
We have our own algorithm that was is based on our own index that we've built. And we layer that on top of our AI search, which is kind of designed to highlight both sides. Like, we tag things in a way so you get both left and right, and then you get a consensus and perspective.
So let's say I want to enforce the border.
Yeah.
Instagram will pop up and show me different ways, maybe different stories that will say talking about enforcing the border. Let's say I think ICE should be defunded.
Uh-huh.
Instagram will realize that, but I guess I don't go on it, but so will TikTok, and they'll be on it. How will yours be different? How will you be giving me the news that's out there as opposed to what you think I want?
So if you were to type one of those searches into Freespoke, what you would get is an AI result that shows like the overlap, the consensus of what people view on ICE, say. And then below that, there'd be perspectives of people who are in favor of ICE enforcement and perspectives of people who are in favor of more open immigration. And so you get both sides. You can read both perspectives. You can make up your own mind.
All right, and by the way, just Apple, which mm-hmm. Ed Zuckerberg, he's going to the White House, and he's getting along with the president, donating for the ballroom. In January, their consolidated Apple News, 0% of conservative stories. In February, when alerted by it, by Media Research Center, 2%.
Yeah.
So they didn't change anything. So that's just one of the issues, and that's why Freespoke could be coming at the perfect time. So I want to bring you to something else. You're very successful.
Yeah.
And you should be proud of that. But evidently, the wealthier the issue. I'm watching Democrats more and more talking about a wealth tax, and I'm watching two presidential hopefuls, Cory Booker and Chris Van Hollen, pushing to raise taxes on the so-called rich, that you should pay your fair share. Do you feel as though you're not paying your fair share?
Well, without getting into too much detail on how much taxes I pay, I would just say our government does not have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. We have a waste, fraud, and abuse problem. And I think that's one of the things that's been highlighted in the last year is how much the federal government is spending on programs that either we don't need or is being frauded or being duplicated. So really, I think what has to happen before we get into any conversations about who's paying what taxes, we have to make the federal government accountable on how they spend their money.
Absolutely. And you would think that that would be reason to get into politics, especially if you're a wealthy person that wants to make change. Just for the record, the top 1% pay 40% of all the taxes. Wow. The top 10% pay 72% of all the taxes. The top 25 pay 87% of all the taxes. The successful people are not the problem. That's what I think. Right. Lastly, The FCC, as well as the government, is cracking down on Major League Baseball for having opening day on Amazon, on the NFL for putting things behind a paywall of Amazon and Peacock and other things. Is the sports world taking advantage of passionate fans?
No. I'm going to say, like, what the sports world is doing is adjusting to the new media environment. So a few years ago, 10 years ago, if you wanted to watch a baseball game or a football game, you would get that through your basic cable package.
Yep.
And what's happened over
time,
which
I'm paying for.
Yeah, which you're paying for, but it's kind of invisible to you because it's built into your monthly bill from your cable provider. But as people cut the cord on cable, what happened is the cable companies started saying, well, we're not going to pay the premium for all these sports, and so they wanted to divide it up and take it out of the basic package, put it into separate packages, and in that same time frame, all these streaming services started coming up, the YouTube TVs, and everything is changing. So really, I don't think people are paying more. They're paying differently, and it's really just because the whole industry is in flux. I would say, like, in the next couple of years, we're going to land on a spot where people like to consume their sports, whether it be through a streaming service, right, whether it be through the regular internet, whether it be through over-the-air television, which is making a comeback. So it's, we'll just see.
Yeah, I mean, I just looking at the people have to, if they love sports, YouTube, Amazon, Peacock, Netflix, ESPN. Yeah. So you need all of it because, right, if you're a sports fan, you want all of it. So I know maybe you can go by the sport or something to that nature. But right now, the fans laying out a lot of money to go, yeah, and a lot of money to watch.
Well, believe me, yeah, though, the sports teams want everybody to see their games. And they're just trying to figure out where people want to see them and how's the best way to deliver it to them.
Todd Ricketts, thanks so much. Congratulations, yeah, on everything. Good luck with the Cubs this year.
Yeah, thanks.
Don't move. Next, only on One Nation. Joe Concha is here with the media moments that matter to us and to you. Oh, quick note. Check out my YouTube page. It's brand new. YouTube.com at the Brian Kilmeade Show. Bringing the music. Back in a moment.
Welcome to Fox News Live. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer in New York. More severe storms are set to hit the plains later this week. Another stormy pattern is brewing from Oklahoma all the way up to the parts of the upper Midwest. Large hail, damaging winds, and tornadoes are all possible. Communities have been left reeling after last week's storms. There were at least 30 confirmed tornadoes, major flooding, structural damage, and thousands of power outages. And federal agents arresting an Iranian national at Los Angeles International Airport. She's accused of helping Iran traffic weapons to Sudan, which is in the fourth year of a civil war. Now, the weapons included Iranian-made drones, bombs, and millions of rounds of ammunition. Prosecutors say she was arrested Saturday as she was about to board a flight to Turkey. Now, she is a lawful permanent resident of the U.S. If convicted, she could face up to 20 years in federal prison. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer, back to One Nation with Brian Kilmeade.
Media moments that matter.
All right, time now for the fan favorite. This week I gave my VCR, my TV guide, all my cords and my tape stock to Joe Concha, Fox News contributor, media expert, insider. Joe, I gave you the assignment. Did you do it?
I did the assignment once. It's different than sophomore year.
That's and your first, the sophomore year of college or high school?
Both, actually.
Well, okay, yeah. Fantastic. First stop, late night television.
Late night television. So we have the Pope of late night, the pious Jimmy Kimmel, who goes on Michelle Obama's podcast, right, this week to talk about how it's really not his job to be funny. It's his job to speak truth to power and challenge the president and Donald Trump. Let's hear more from the Pope of late night.
I just can't imagine, mm-hmm, on those nights talking about anything, yeah, other than what we are talking about. Mm-hmm. It would be shameful. And to say that, well, your job is this, mm-hmm, it makes me, I bristle at that, yeah, because first of all, don't tell me what my job is. My job is whatever I decide my job is.
Good that he feels that way, that his job, usually people hire you as, yeah, late night to be funny, but that's what he wants. He does not have great ratings,
no,
but and he has a totally different approach to late night, but he doesn't care.
Here's the thing. If Kimmel wants to run his show where he talks about politics all the time, all right, fine. If you want to be a distant third place to Greg Gutfeld, that's your right. Here's the thing, though. When Eric Swalwell went down this week, didn't mention Swalwell once on his show. So either you're going to talk about politics in a bipartisan way or just try to be funny and make your bosses
and
happy.
And here's the thing. If you are going to go down that path of news, you go, a month ago I had Eric Swalwell on. I thought he was one guy. He ends up being a different guy. You say that. Then you become part of the news and you do something responsible. But that's not the way I think the best guy in late night history approached the job.
And the best guy in late night history by far, the great Johnny Carson, NBC, 70s, 80s, early 90s, used to average sometimes 15 million people watching a night, or seven times the audience that Jimmy Kimmel has. And he literally went on 60 Minutes to explain what he feels his job is. This is cut number three. Go.
Oh, tell me the last time that Jack Benny, Red Skelton, any comedian, used his show to do serious issues. That's not what I'm there for. Can't they see that?
But you're not...
Why do they think that just because you have a Tonight Show that you must deal in serious issues? That's a danger. It's a real danger.
Yes, it's a danger. And that's what happened to late night television.
And that's why Carson was so right. beloved, because Democrats, Republicans, Independents watched him. Americans watched him, not a particular party. And I'll just leave it here. Johnny Carson never cried on his show the way Jimmy Kimmel did after Donald Trump won.
Even
just
when
saying.
Bette Midler sang to him.
That's true.
So Stephen Colbert, here's the thing.
Wind beneath my wings.
Right. I cried, which was I never thought that I was going to say that publicly.
I want that video.
Stephen Colbert did it right one time. If success leaves clues, this should have been a clue.
Yeah.
You picked out this segment. I love it.
A broken clock is right at least once a day. Right?
I heard that.
And that happened with Stephen Colbert on CBS. His job is going away, at least on that network, next month. But let's hear from Colbert.
In the same way that it's important for the Vice President of the United States to be careful when I talk about matters of public policy, I think it's very, very important for the Pope to be careful when he talks about matters of theology.
AD, I know you're Catholic. But you joined in 2019, okay? I've been genuflecting since the mid-1960s. And let me tell you, brother, I think you're out over your Catholic skis here, okay? I think it's time for you to sit down, then stand back up, then kneel, then stand again, then shake hands with people around you, then kneel a little more, then go take communion, and then go back to your pew for some more kneeling, because you're not sneaking out of here after communion, because you know who left the Last Supper early? Judas.
That's hysterical. I see that to me, it doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat, that's just funny.
It's hysterical, but it's an anomaly, unfortunately, on that show. I'll leave it here. He has not had Colbert, a Republican on his show, in 3 years, not named Liz Cheney. Just saying.
Right. And you know why she was on? Because she was ripping a Republican
Precisely.
Who became president. Lastly, gender politics. So the WNBA commissioner was taking some questions. They had a little bit of controversy with their union problems. And I can't believe that she found some gender bias.
Unbelievable, right? And if you listen to this clip that we picked out here, she's asked a question that anybody would be asked, regardless of which bathroom you use. So let's hear from the WNBA commissioner.
So I guess I'm just curious, like, how much do you want to stay the commissioner of the WNBA? How much longer do you anticipate to be in this role?
Well, thank you, Maddie. I do crack up how everybody's focused on me, and you should be focused on the hundreds of amazing women and thousands of women who run this league. Appreciate that you're focused on me as well. I wonder whether you would ask that of a man, by the way. But I realize as women, we get asked different questions than men do.
What is she talking about?
Roger Goodell wouldn't get that.
Gets it all the time.
Right, precisely. Yeah. And by the way, probably a very easy job to be the WNBA commissioner as long as Caitlin Clark stays healthy.
Right.
She is the league.
And they don't beat her up too much. Yeah. Joe, thanks so much. I appreciate it, but I'm going to need the VCR. Could you leave it in the green room?
Yeah.
For next week.
I'll need a crane to pick this thing up. It's quite heavy.
It is a little heavy.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, coming up straight ahead, health and wellness guru, Mr. Maha himself, Gary Brecka, is on a mission to make America healthy and live longer and sleep a little bit more. How he plans to do that right here, next only on One Nation. I request that you don't move. Question. Is bad sleep silently destroying your health? A third of Americans are not getting enough rest. Up to 70 million are dealing with chronic sleep issues, and it's costing us productivity as a country, health, as well as our individual mental well-being. So, I'll be honest, my own sleep data, not great. One night, for example, they asked me to just give you some stats. Here we go. And my next guest is listening right now. I'm getting kind of worried. 4 hours, 16 minutes. Stop laughing. 90% efficiency. Restfulness, they said, was good. REM, about an hour and a half. Deep sleep, about 25 minutes. Not bad for me. Not sure if my next guest would agree or if he'll stay on the show. Human biologist and biohacker Gary Brecka wants to cure your sleep crisis and mine. He's putting America to the test with a two-day sleep challenge from A-list celebrities, UFC fighters and CEOs, most recently, Jelly Roll, recording artist. Brecka is behind some of the most dramatic health transformations out there today. And joining us now is that man himself, longevity expert, as well as human, as Ultimate Human podcast. He's the host and co-chair of the Maha Action Committee. Gary, great to see you. You want to focus on sleep, not on me, but how much trouble am I in?
Well, actually, you posted one of the two better sleep scores that you got. I mean, you posted one with 4 hours and 16 minutes. The previous one had 3 hours and 11 minutes, which is just not allowing your body the time to get into the deep and the REM phases of sleep that are so beneficial. I mean, everybody understands that sleep is beneficial, but we don't realize that it is our human superpower. You know, during the REM phases of sleep, we're actually assembling memory. So this is where learned memory is actually assembled. During the deep phases of sleep, this is when the brain detoxifies. We have lymphs in the body, right? We have the lymphatic system to drain waste from the body. We have a glymphatic system in the brain, and this is active during deep sleep, literally eliminating waste from the brain. Histamines, cytokines, these things that build up in our brain and make us foggy. They create poor focus, poor concentration. Yep. They actually make us groggy in the mornings, and that's lack of deep and REM sleep.
So let's talk about the two-day challenge. What do you have in mind? Day one, the nervous system and circadian rhythm reset. How do you do that?
So really what people really need to do is draw their attention to their sleep. So I have a challenge on the 29th and 30th. It's completely free. In 2 days, I will fix your sleep and promise you a minimum 33% increase in your sleep score if you're monitoring your sleep score. A lot of it just has to do with drawing attention to your sleep. If you ask people, what do you do to go to sleep? They go, what do you mean, Gary? I just get in bed. They have a routine to get their kids to school. They have a routine for exercise, but they don't have good sleep hygiene. And most people are giving the body mixed signals all day. Irregular wake times, no morning light, then late caffeine, late food, late alcohol, and late screens. All of these are designed to wake you up, not put you to bed. They should never be a part of your evening routine. So we talk about timing of meals, timing of caffeine, timing of screen time. What are some of the things you can do in bed to fall asleep faster? Right. What temperature should the room be? Should you invest in a cotton eye mask? Those types of things.
All right. So we'll do that. And where do we go to find out that two-day challenge?
Just go to The Ultimate Human, theultimatehuman.com.
Got it. Detoxifying. You want us to focus on that. What are you talking about? What are we doing every day on a daily basis that gives us susceptibility to detoxifying situations?
So, you know, we're slowly micropoisoning ourselves to death. You know, nobody got mercury poisoning from eating a single piece of mercury-laden tuna fish. They got mercury poisoning because they ate small doses over time. There's a saying that the dosage determines the poison. I believe that the cumulative dosage determines the poison. So things like glyphosate, paraquat, insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, which are really rampant in our food supply, genetically modified foods, these small microtoxins that we put into our body every day. HHS is now drawing attention to microplastics. They're drawing attention to things like EMFs. And not singled out, do any one of these things pose an immediate health risk? But cumulatively, they wear down the immune system and leave us susceptible to disease.
So you say, look out for seed oil, driven ultra-processed foods. You've been through that, I know. Indoor air, VOCs,
yep.
PFAs from cookware and water, and chronic mold, obviously in water-damaged buildings. So if that's you, where you work, is that where you live, that's a problem, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, we don't really draw attention to toxins. These are not things that show up in normal labs. So there's a lot of your audience watching this right now, and they go in to see their doctor, and their labs are quote-unquote normal. And they say, I just don't feel myself, my focus, my concentration, my waking energy. I have brain fog, weight gain, water retention. I have a poor response to exercise. Libido has left the building, and yet nothing shows up in the labs. I'm going to tell you the big five right now.
Okay.
The big five are mold, mycotoxin, parasite, virus, heavy metal. If we started testing for these things, we would get to the root cause of a lot of why the immune system gets inflamed and gets misdirected. If you look at autoimmune disease, for example, as an entire category, 85% of it is idiopathic, meaning we do not know the origin. It's of unknown origin. You're led to believe that you just spontaneously woke up one day and your immune system turned on some healthy tissue in your body. It attacked your thyroid. You have Hashimoto's. It attacked your colon. You have Crohn's disease. But the truth is something called the immune system. It didn't show up for no reason. And those big five are at the root of a lot of those issues.
And some of the things to solve the problems, top things we can do to reset: morning light, you get out in the sun in the morning, hydrate early, get some of that water, eat real food, daily movement, and support your nervous system at night. So these are some of the positive things. There's something else that RFK Jr., who you're extremely tight with, you're at the foundation, the Baha movement. Peptides came up at his hearings this week. I want you to hear what he said about peptides, and I want to get your take. Listen.
We returned 12 of those peptides yesterday. The class to the Category 1 categories that formulators will now be able to formulate them. Peptides are not supposed to be regulated. It's been upheld again and again by the courts. The Biden administration improperly moved them to Category 3 without any evidence of safety. The only justification they have is if there's a safety concern, and there was no science that indicated a safety concern, so it was improper. We have now remediated that by moving them back.
So, Gary, what would you tell me about peptides, and what would you like to see happen to them?
I am an enormous fan of peptides. I applaud Bobby Kennedy for getting these back onto what's called the bulk list, or back onto Category 1, so they can be compounded for human use and not just for research use only. So peptides are not some new, novel, strange concept. Peptides are things that are made very often inside the human body. Insulin is a peptide. GLP-1 is a peptide. We have trillion-dollar industries built on the back of peptides, compounds that are made endogenously in the human body. These are amino acid sequences. They're chains of amino acids, and when they're put into the body in certain dosages, they can signal the body to do all kinds of things. Help with collagen, elastin, fibrin, skin, hair, nails. It can rewind your pituitary to a more youthful level of growth hormone secretion and improve the secretion of growth hormone.
So listen to Gary Brecka and others, and FDA approve this and bring it back home where it can have proper regulations. Gary Brecka, thanks so much. I always think we need another 3 hours, but thanks so much for your quality time.
You're so welcome, Brian. Love being on your show.
All right, before you go, the sneak peek of the week to what we have to look forward to this week. First, RFK Jr., believe it or not, is testifying even more. This time he's going to try to justify his budget. Good luck with that. Also, to this week is going to be great Arctic Frost hearing. Both Republicans and Democrats are upset by that and looking forward to some Q&A there. Hearings on the federal boxing laws. We haven't heard enough about boxing. Why don't you regulate UFC first? Next, we'll talk about the roundtable on the military fitness standards. I had to see these men and women in action. Believe it. Believe me, they are fit. Plus, first round of the NBA and NHL playoffs are underway. Go Knicks. Only get to the finals to be a successful season. That's how I feel. NHL also underway. That is it for us tonight. Tune into my radio show from 9 to noon, Monday through Friday. It's required listening. And catch me on Fox and Friends in just a few hours. I promise to shower, rinse and repeat, and I'll be back with you. Remember these two things before I go. Stay within yourself and always keep it here on Fox News.